And welcome along to the preview part of Correct Way. We've got Grand National Hurdle Day at Sandown today, and the man taking four very good chances to the races is Patrick Payne. And Patrick's going to join us on the line now. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, fellas.
Taking four horses to the races today. Most interesting one for mine is Tally Ho Twinkle Toe. But we'll start it off with one of my favourites, Slowpoke. Slowpoke Rodriguez. He's back after a run in the annual. He's run at Sandown on the flat was pretty good, progressing towards this this Chris Steeplechase, which is the progression into the National. I thought he had a pretty good chance today. The long run in on the flat with only the two flights in the last 1,000, I thought might suit him there at Sandown.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he's a little bit tricky jumping under pressure. So as you said, there's only two jumps in the last 1,000 metres, and the last jump's about the 400 metre mark. So that will make it a lot easier for him. The only thing I will say, it's a little bit unknown going into today's race. But he had a run in the Grand Annual, and then we're trying to run in two marathons in a year, which is not that easy to do. But anyway, so he's had a bit of a freshen up. He has missed a couple of like steeple trials, which were called off. So I just feel like he might be a little bit ring rusty at his first few, but he'd be much better going into the Grand National steeple than today's event.
How's he adapt to the easy fix fences compared to those that they jump in the annual? He made a couple of little blunders late under pressure over the fences at Warrnambool. Is he okay with the easy fixes?
I think so, and I think they're a very good jump. I find like the good jumpers jump them really well, like horses like Sea King and ZM. They're good jumpers, and they jump them very well. Like, they're well-rounded. They're a perfect jumper, I think, or a perfect fence, I think.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Recollecting over from New Zealand's going to benefit off the run at Cranbourne.
You would think so. She was a little while between runs, only like 6 weeks in between runs. So she sort of loomed and then sort of just sort of peaked a little bit the last 100 metres or so. She was given every chance, though, so we just thought we'd take the claim off today and like give her all the help she can get. But she's trained on pretty well. It's still a little bit unknown where she really fits in, but it'd be nice for a Kiwi there to get some city win or city placement.
And taking the two into the National, Kalani Kid deep into his preparation, made a bad blunder there at Pakenham last time, and Tally Ho Twinkle Toe, the New Zealand Grand National Hurdle winner of 2013, really good at the fences 2 runs ago in New Zealand. Is this a progression to him heading towards the bigger fences at Ballarat in a couple of weeks?
Yes, I think so. He went and qualified up at Ballarat on Thursday morning. He jumped the hurdles and also the steeples. I thought he jumped the steeples a little bit better. His trainer back in New Zealand, Naomi Myers, he said, no, he's pretty adaptable at both. So he thinks he'll be okay at today's hurdle. But if he misses today, we've got a backup plan. I think he'll be a little bit better going into the Grand National steeple at Ballarat.
Jumping record, Pat, the horse must have broken down because it had a couple of years off, but I think it's had 6 jump starts for 5 wins, which is a very impressive stat, Tally Ho Twinkle Toe.
Yeah, he's had a couple of tendon issues, but he's extremely sound at the moment.
And Kalani Kid, is the better track condition a positive for it today?
I think so. He's quite a little bit of an arrogant jumper, like he can take off from a fair way out. And on heavy ground, he sometimes doesn't get away with it as well as what he should. On good ground, it sort of gives him a little bit more air time, or it's easier for him to get into the air. So I would think the better ground would turn him down to the ground. As I said, he's had a long campaign, but we don't need to do that much with him. He's a bit of a natural athlete, and he seems extremely well. Like if he was going into his first run, I think he's nearly a bit above himself, a bit fresh in himself. So as I said, he's going to the race really well, but he has had a long campaign, but he's showing no signs that he's had enough.
He looked like he was going to win last start before coming down. Has he taken any ill effect from that?
No, he hasn't. He was definitely going to be in the finish. Whether he's going to win or not, I don't know. But he's pulled up very sound from that, and probably the good thing from that, he didn't have to finish off the last 400 metres, so basically didn't have a hard run. So he's still got very fresh legs going into today's event.
Okay, 2 questions to let you go with. One, can you give us your best winning chance today, and can we get an update on our favourite horse, Widgie Turf, purchased for $4,500, who's now collected $1.3
million? Widgie Turf, he's in good order. He sort of went up to Queensland, had a stop there, and then was sort of in training up there. He's come down here. We'll just see what happens with him. It's a matter of when he's fit, he can go to the races for a suitable race. So we're just going to pick out some, achievable events for him, hopefully. So that's him. And I would say Kalani Kid's the best one today. Like, we know him pretty well. He's a very genuine horse. He's like a Trojan. You know, he always gives you a run for your money. So there's never any guarantees, but I think he'll give you a run for your money.
Couple of favourites of mine, Patrick, Kalani Kid and Slowpoke Rodriguez. Safe passage to the ball today and good luck.
Thanks very much. We'll need it.
Patrick Payne there with his runners going to Sandown today as we join Trent Langscale from the TAB.
It's the latest TAB update.
Trent, time-honoured racing today, the Grand National Hurdle, also in the Trots World, the Redwood Classic, the National, Killarney Kid and Gobstopper topping the market here.
That is right, Brendan. As I say, good morning to you. Currently on the TAB at Redwood Rattler to Maryborough, but we'll concentrate first on the jumps races at Sandown. And the big one of the day is the Grand National Hurdle, race 6 at 2.25 this afternoon. And there's not much in the betting between Killarney Kid and also Gobstopper. Killarney Kid currently the outright favourite at $3.60. Gobstopper not far behind at $3.70. Tally-ho Twinkle Toe is a $5.50 chance. You have Euroman at $7. Fire Free at $8.50. And has been specking this morning for Double Bluff, who's coming from 15.10. The first of 10 at Sandown today is the Crisp Steeplechase at 11:05. Wells is at the top of the market, but has just eased slightly this morning from $2.40 to $2.50. The tightener has been Slowpoke Rodriguez, $3.50 into $3.20. Outside of that, Lucky Tonight, just out from $5.50 to $6. Bit of a Lad, a firm from $8.50 to $7.50. And Luke, currently an $8 chance. Outside of those two feature jumps races, noting that in race two, there's been good support today for Knock Knock, $3.10 to $2.40 as the favourite. In race three, Kentucky Tornado opened $4.60. Now, clearly the favourite at $2.70. And there's also a Big Six jackpot of just over $53,000 for the card at Sandown. The first leg is race five on the program. Currently on the way to Maryborough for Redwood Classic Day. And there's a $100,000 projected quaddy pool as well. In the Redwood Classic, Ultimate Stride is the $1.75 favourite. That's race six on the card. The Trotters Free For All is a beauty. Tornado Valley in the red at $1.85. And in the Victoria Trotters Derby, Liberty Stride is at the top of the market at $2.25. You can check out all those markets and plenty more at your local TAB at tab.com.au and the TAB app on your mobile.
Your Sunday morning preview. RSN 927's Correct Weight with Brendan Delaney.
Well, Dan, Grand National Hurdle Day, $250,000 race. This is a race deep with a deep history, now run at Sandown on a Sunday, but once upon a time was a showpiece of racing at Flemington.
And look, I'm a bit disappointed, I've got to say. It's hidden away at 11.05. Crisp is, I would say, the greatest jumper that this country has ever produced. I know a lot of people would agree with me. If you don't know Crisp that well, go to the search engine for the Grand National with Red Rum. To me, it's my most favourite race of all time. He was a champion. But this, I would have thought the race deserved to be a little bit further on into the program, but it does start our day, and we've got a super jumper involved here in Wells. He's a 12-year-old, or he's just turned 12. He's won six of his last seven steeplechase starts. He lost his rider in the other one. In all of those wins, he's carried 69 kilos and above. He won the race 2 years ago. Look, I think under the weight conditions, he's the horse to beat. Because he's 12, I think we start looking for reasons why he could get beat. But on his last run, he's got to improve on that, surely. So I put him on top of Slowpoke Rodriguez. Just a little concern there with Patrick that the horse has missed a couple of steeplechase trials recently. Four Lucky Tonight and two Bit of a Ladder, the other chances. So probably the obvious order, but 1, 5, 4, and 2.
1, 5, 4, and 2 in the first from Dan. Tim Bailey is online from Sandown, the track manager out there. Tim, good morning.
Morning, Brendan.
Sloth 6 is the track rating today. The rail is in the true position on the lakeside course for the flat racing, but, predominantly the jumpers use the hillside track to the outside rail and the hill. Sloth 6, is that pretty uniform across the surface today?
It is, Brendan. Yeah, we're back. For the jumps racing, we call it a soft 7. We irrigated the track on Thursday, just the outside session. So it's a soft 7, not a lot in it, but probably better have a bit more given it for the jumpers, obviously. And a soft 6 for the flat racing, and certainly the flat racing. Look, we're lakeside true. Most people would be aware that it's no disadvantage to be up near the speed when the lakeside, especially in the true position. I don't see any different today. The lakeside's in terrific order. It's had a bit of a break and terrific order. Certainly even across it. It's certainly not sort of track profile related. Any reason why it may be on speed. It's certainly even. They'll be able to make ground if the tempo's right. But if they run as normal, sort of a slow tempo coming down to the hill to the 400, certainly those horses up in the speed tend to be able to find a bit and kick and be hard to run down.
And the rail goes back to the true there as outlined, 8 metres last time they raced on Lakeside. So the track's had a bit of a workload, but freshish ground back to the rail there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's mainly the hillside's certainly very tired. It's had a lot of racing the hillside circuit, but the in the front straight, that Lakeside rail, basically the inside 10 metres is all very fresh ground. And as I said, there's no difference whether you're hard on the fence or 10 off, but certainly, you know, those up on the speed, I would see being at an advantage, especially early in the program.
Not a problem at all. Thanks very much, Tim, and good luck with the big program today.
Thanks, Brendan.
Tim Bailey, the track manager from Sandown. We're going to get stuck right into the preview now. First event, Nick, is the Crisp Steeplechase. There are no scratchings here. There is a riding change, though. For number five, Slowpoke Rodriguez. Sean Phelan comes across to replace his Kiwi compatriot in Matthew Gillies. And the champ Wells, is he at the top of the market here?
He is at the top of the market, and punters are really only wanting to know about the top two in the betting. Wells has been as much as 280 into the current 230 quote, while Slowpoke Rodriguez has also been a big firm. It was 550 when markets opened, now a 320 second elect, having firmed in already today from 350. Lucky Tonight at 650. Bit of a Lad's been quite soft, now at 750. Luke's Best the Rest there at 8, but punters certainly working around the top two in the market, Wells and Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Dan, three really high class chasers here. Wells, Bit of a Lad, Slowpoke Rodriguez. Luke's a novice chaser, making his progression through his first season of jumping, and Lucky Tonight's been here and won a feature, but that was some time ago.
Yeah, that will look on the weight conditions. It's really Wells he's thrown in, considering the races that he's won, the Grand Nationals, three of them, the Crisp. I think he's the horse to beat. He has to be. And as I said just a few minutes ago when I jumped the gun, I think Wells is the one to beat. Slowpoke Rodriguez, Lucky Tonight, and Bit of a Lad. So 1, 5, 4, and 2, but I want to hear your tips, Brendan.
I'm going to go with Slowpoke here. He's a favourite of mine. Gets in with 64. I think 4,200 probably sees him out. And I like the fact at Sandown they only jumped twice in the last 1,000 metres. If you go back and watch his Grand Annual run, when he was really under pressure chasing ZM, he made a few bad blunders when they came back onto the course proper, got the last of the toes of double a little bit wrong, and that was a progression leading through, and it just takes the sting out of him. He's got good flat ability. His run on the flat was really good in a race. It was unsuitable there behind Jinder. I just think with a little weight pull, he's got his chance to beat Wells, because I don't think by the time they get to Ballarat, he'll be able to beat him stepping out in trip. Wells in for second. He's the class act. Just looking for a little bit more of the value there with my old mate Slowpoke. He's a superstar of the game, Wells. He'll be there. He'll give you a sight. 70 kilos is a toughish ask, but whatever he does today, he's going to benefit from heading towards another national. Bit of a Lad ran well through the Warrnambool Carnival. Briley winner, albeit controversially, ran well in the annual when taking the big rise in trip. He was good in a high weight at Warrnambool, then ran well in the Thackeray on really testing ground. Then Luke's Best of the Rest, but I think he's a bit of a gap away. He's a novice chaser. He was okay in the Moss Trooper. I just don't think he's got the class of the other three. 5, 1, 2, and 3 for mine in the Crisp, which will be a cracker to get the card underway at just after 11 o'clock. Race number two is the Ladbrokes Odds Boost here. There is one scratching, number five, Trigvert, went around yesterday. How's the market shaping up here, Nick?
Yeah, we've got a pretty popular favourite here in race number two in the form of Knock Knock, who now heads the market at $2.40 and has been the runner that punters are very keen to step into today. Was $4 into $3.10 throughout the course of the week, $3.10 into $2.40 today. Pedro now a $2.90 second elect, Almighty Will $4.40, but the money continues for race two, number two, Knock Knock.
Knock Knock, well tried. Dan Piedra brings the Condos Express form lines from yesterday.
Well, it's just too good to ignore, isn't it? And look, it was a fantastic win. The burst of speed Piedra showed to win coming from well back on the turn, it was an outstanding performance. It just stood out here. Knock Knock was terrific on debut, showed fighting qualities, I thought was the obvious danger. It's only a small field and it's not really, from what we've seen of the exposed form, a natural leader in the race, so that could play its part here, but I was really taken by Piedra. Knock Knock, the danger, it's got scope, winning on debut. Almighty Will is the one I thought most likely to lead, but There's a question mark on the pace in the race in Treaty of Seville. 3, 2, 1, and 4.
Yep, in the small field, I'm going with the well-trained runner here in Knock Knock. There was huge wraps on him with Darren Weary. He never got a chance to make it to the races under Darren's care. Stepped out at Bendigo a couple of weeks ago. He was ultra impressive for mine. I think he's a horse with plenty of upside to beat Piedra. He was strong late at Sale. Brings winning form through Condos Express, who was really good yesterday at the Valley. Almighty Will out to the 1,200 metres again, and should have a little bit of dash and might be able to just string them along and give a kick at the top of the lane and be hard to run down. And then for Treaty of Seville, who's resuming 2, 3, 1, and 4 for mine in the second as we move on to the third, which is for the middle distance horses. 2,100 metres is the distance here. It's a benchmark 64 with draws of 1, 6, 8 and 10. Nick, who's the favourite? Kentucky Tornado, I presume, is going to be pretty well supported here.
As per usual, you are absolutely spot on. Kentucky Tornado has been well backed. 450 into 3 throughout the course of the week. The money has continued this morning. 3 into 270. Heads the market now from Smoke and Piero, a $6 chance. Schurz has been the second best backed runner in the race, $9 into 7. At longer odds, there's been a little bit of support, and I do mean a little bit, for Naomi, who's been 15 into 12. But overall, the best backed runner clearly is the 14, Kentucky Tornado.
Dan, Kentucky Tornado, ultra impressive at Bendigo when getting out to a trip. Are you siding with her today?
It's hard to ignore, particularly coming to it as a maiden and had a number of starts in France. But some of those performances where she was placed were over the staying trip. So form 2000 and beyond is actually pretty good. It was a dominant win last start. Travel up well. We mentioned about the horse that won yesterday more than ever, how it travelled up so nicely in the run and then just let down. Well, this was similar, winning a race where the form, I think, turned pretty good out of it. Tigre Royale, who were very keen on last week, had no trouble disposing of maideners over a staying trip, and it looks quite progressive. Kentucky Tornado, it was a soft win. It was just hands and heels to the line, and even looking at the winning margin, it could easily have been extended if wanted to. So Kentucky Tornado's on the up. It's my top pick, and I had little problem having it there. Scherzer could be the improver. It sat wide and was still a chance to the 250 at Cranbourne on the heavy ground. It just faded late. D. Oliver on today. And then numbers, Romello ran a good race in this race last year. And even though it's only ever won on a heavy track, when it gets to slightly better surfaces, it goes okay. So I think at odds, it might be one to throw in for the first four. And the other one in the mix was Smoke and Piero. 14, 12, 5 and 9. But the winners, a very nice progressive staying mare.
Yeah, I'm with 14 as well, Kentucky Tornado. She won with a great deal of authority at Bendigo once she got out to a trip. And then Tigre Royale stepped out last week and smacked them in a maiden, beat them by a good margin. I think she's the one with the most upside in this to beat. Recollecting, Paddy Payne opting for the claim here with Jess Eden. Had the month between runs going to Cranbourne. Will be fitter for that run stepping out to the 2,200 metres here. 15 Naomi, I thought it was a really good effort in the run behind Tavi Run at Caulfield. Was okay on the synthetic behind Ripcord. Chase Buffalo River, only beaten 3.8 lengths to Buffalo River in the Silver Bowl final the start prior to that. So I can see where the little bit of support's come there at the prize for Naomi. The bottom weight and Smoke and Piero just peaked late on his chase at his first try at the trip at Sandown on the hillside. He'll be better for that next this time out. So pretty keen though on 14, Tucky Tornado. She was my best of the day. 14, 7, 15 and 9 as we move on to race number 4 on this Big Ten race card. It's a benchmark 70 over 1,200 metres. Scratchings here are 4, 6, 8, 11 and 16, Nick.
Open race, Pinion a $3.10 favourite. There's been a little bit of support for a couple of runners, including Pico at the $8.50 quote. The 7, Feared Eyes, is trimmed up from 13 into 9. And Gina's Hope, scratched from a race yesterday in preference for this, has been 10 into 9.50. But Pinion heads the open race 4 on the card.
Pinion comes through some stronger races, Dan. Lakeside Rail True, she'll be getting back. Is that a concern for you?
Well, she's won here before, so perhaps not as much. You just wonder, though, whether she's been up long enough and if she at that time of her preparation where it could be a last run. I thought her run at Flemington was okay and she was strong enough through the line, but she did come under pressure a fair way out, like earlier out than I would have anticipated, and she was right in the market there. That was in the race that was won by Sylvia's mother, who is clearly a classy type. So it's hard to ignore that form, Pinion, but there is a little bit of a concern. I'd be waiting to see any market fluctuations there in the last 10 minutes or so. I think it could have a big bearing. If she's right, I think she's the horse to beat. Gina's Hope's another one that's going to get back as well, but it was a terrific run at Bendigo. And then Big Susie I quite liked. I thought it returned. I'm not always a fan of transferring that synthetic track form to a turf track, but here's one that I thought had made significant improvement, Big Susie, and I thought it was a top four chance here. And Cataracta has always shown ability. Comes out of a benchmark 58, but it bolted in. It was on a heavy track, but it was impressive there, and it has won at the track before.
I should mention yesterday, Clinton McDonald gave us four tips yesterday. The first three have already won, and the other one he suggested was Honey Esprit Each Way, who's been 51 into 19.
Yeah, I can't come into Honey Esprit, but I'm with Pinion here. I think they might be a little bit more positive from barrier number three, well, the inside draw anyway. I think she'll be up a little bit closer to the speed. That Sylvia's Mother, 2.25 lengths, that's good enough form for here. Had no luck in the run at Caulfield prior to that behind. Gododdin brings Benatoy to form as well. I think that's quite a strong form line for her to be winning to beat number 17 in Cataracta. Yes, it was only a 58 at Matar, but it was up on the speed and was really, really dominant in winning by six. Gina's Hope chased well fresh at Bendigo, but he's going to be one that he's getting back. And then number three, Pico, for the Colin Little team, has had a break between runs, but you go back to January, was beaten 2.25 behind Tin Hat. So if Pico can find some of that form, I think she can really be competitive here. But I'm with 10 Pinion here. 10, 17, 12, and 3 as we move on to the fifth event on the program. We return to the jumping. This time it's a hurdles. It's a benchmark 120. Tangara comes out number one along with four Beyond Thankful. Rider for You'll Dash for Cash is Ronan Short, taking the 3 kilos off. Quinny, who's the favourite in the return to the jumps?
Six Contrice heads the market at 370. There's been money for Master Poet, who's a 420 second elect. Aloft there at 420. My 409, a $6 chance. Flying Agent, $7.50. Then you've got You'll Dash for Cash has been a firmer $10 into $8. Very competitive betting race. Unlike some of the other jumps races on the program, punters are casting the net quite wide, trying to find the winner in race five.
Dan, who are we with in the hurdle?
Look, this is an interesting race. There's not a lot of horses with tremendous amount of experience, or if they have had, they've been in this sort of grade for a while. I thought It's Cochise, considering the race it was in last start, the horses ahead of it are in the National today, so it's probably a more suitable assignment. Travel up really nicely, probably looked the winner with 400 to go, didn't quite let down as well, but as I said, his opposition go into the next race, so which is the Grand National Hurdle. But It's Cochise number 5 from 9 Aloft, won a recent jumps trial. It was tipped by everybody when it made its hurdle debut, didn't quite go according to plan. It hasn't raced since then, but it has won the jumps trial recently. I thought You'll Dash for Cash had a chance, gets up on the weights, but certainly consistent in its jumps performances so far. And another horse that I thought had actually ran all right at really big odds, and I think at the price, it's definitely worth having something on and throwing into your exotics, and that was John's Revenge number 10. My tips here, 5, 9, 2, and 10, Brandon. And I just might get back, I mentioned before about the crisp seemingly being buried away at the start of the day. The reason I said that was because if there was a star on the 10 race card today, it would have to be Wells. So you need to be out there really early to see him. But also understanding the steeplechase fences to be set up takes a bit of time to bring them down. So I'm understanding of that. But I would have thought the number one draw card today was Wells.
Have it the last race.
Yeah, we too. We can't do that. They have to be run by a certain time because shadows play a part.
Okay.
That's the reason why the jumps races are always on before around 3 o'clock, I think. You'll find there, but yeah, the Chris Steeplechase Wells, if we turn the clock back 25, 30 years, Dan, he'd be a megastar Wells.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, the years that I was growing up, the Grand National Hurdle and the Grand National Steeple, they were feature races. They were treated like a Group 1 race,
yep.
And I loved them growing up. And some of my favourite horses of all time, like Seragrafo and Strasburg and Sharpaz, they were all jumpers, and
yep.
I love them dearly. And unfortunately, I think today they don't quite get that that sort of recognition. The landscape has changed a bit, but there's still no doubt this fellow Wells is a superstar.
He certainly is in the first of the two hurdle races. I'm going with number 9, Aloft here. I didn't think his run was all that bad at Warrnambool. He was back for a stack. He ran into a pretty hot race at Euroman 1 and Super Haze came through. He just made a really bad mistake at the second last and put his confidence out and knocked the stuffing out of him a little bit. He can improve through that. If this was a flat race, he'd be beating these horses by a long way if he brought his best. I liked his school recently. Shane Jackson asked him for a couple of big leaps. He responded well. I think he's just got too much flat ability, considering they only jumped twice in the last 1,000. If he can maybe roll along in front, he's going to be really hard to catch here. It's Cachise in for second. Had a month between runs going to the Pakenham run behind Fire Free. Will be better for that. Six Master Poet made a couple of little errors there at Pakenham in the straight behind Alverson last time out in a maiden hurdle. He'll be better for that experience over the jumps. And then Flying Age, and I thought he was really brave at Pakenham behind Michelin, which I think is good enough for coming into this race. But if Aloft can get his own way in front, he's going to be mighty hard to beat. 9, 5, 6, and 8. We move on to the feature event. $250,000 on offer here for the Grand National Hurdle. There are no scratchings. Aaron Kuru takes a ride on Tally Ho Twinkle Toes. Who's the favourite here, Quinny, for the National?
There has been money for Tally Ho Twinkle Toes as well, who's a $5.50 third elect. The favourite is Kalani Kid at $3.60, just ahead of Gobstopper at $3.70. Euroman 7, there's been a little bit of support at longer odds for number 6, Double Bluff, who's been as much as $21 into 10. And also a little bit of support at the longer odds there for Paragon, who's a $31 chance. Speaking of the roughies, your selection there to fill a place, John's Revenge, currently 51-10 in the race before there, Dan. But Kalani Kid, a solid favourite in one of the features, the Grand National Hurdle.
Trip's a little bit of a concern for me, Dan Kalani Kid, getting, you know, into the depths of 4,000 metres. I think he's going, might just find it a little bit tough with the 69.
Well, that's right. You mix it in with the 69 kilos. Perhaps the positive is it's not a heavy surface, and I think that improving track is going to be helpful to Kalani Kid. I like Tally Ho Twinkle Toe, the way... Well, its jumping form is terrific. It's a 9-year-old and it's had, 20 starts. But it's won a number of hurdle races, but that's been spanned over a long period of time. But I like its profile coming into this Tally Ho Twinkle Toe. Gobstopper hasn't had a lot of experience over the jumps. Was a well-enough-performed flat horse in New Zealand, but it comes in winning its last two, so it's got that form. Fire Free is an interesting runner because it took till its 8th hurdle start to win its maiden, and then it's gone back-to-back and was really impressive in a decent lead-up. So I've put it in the mix here, Fire Free, and Kalani Kid is the other one, the class factor. I think you could make cases for a few other horses as well. I do think it's open enough. 2, 3, 8, and 1, but it's going to be a great spectacle, I'm sure.
Certainly will. I'm going with Tally Ho Twinkle Toe as well. New Zealand Grand National Hurdle winner back in 2015. His run over the fences in New Zealand was extremely good up on the speed, where he lumped 68 there over the 3,500, and he's returned to jumping for the season. He was good on the flat at New Plymouth before making the switch here over to Paddy Payne's. I think he just might have a little bit of dash on them on the flat as well, and I think he's a bit of a classy jumper. Whatever he does today, he's going to improve on going to Ballarat to the bigger fences next time out, but I think he can get away with this. Kalani Kid in for second. Drier Ground is in his favour. 4,200's a slight concern. They're the two established jumpers in the race. Gobstopper, he's only a novice, comes off the maiden hurdle win in New Zealand and then won well at Pakenham last time out in one of the big races there, beating Comics, who's another novice. It's not a race for novice hurdlers, Dan. Over the years, it's been experienced hurdlers that have gone on, particularly when we turn back to the days of Flemington. Horses that have had long careers over hurdles are one that have figured here. Comics is another novice. He's in the right stable. Kath and Craig Durden do a great job with their jumpers. Just got a little feeling that he might be the next project horse with Wells coming towards the end of his career. But I'm with 2, 1, 3, and 5 in race number 6.
You make a really good point there about the experience when they're getting to those sorts of trips. Of course, once upon a time, the Grand National would be at 4,800 metres, yep. So it was a little bit further. I've had a couple of inquiries about reiterating my tips in races 3 and 4. Race 3, my tips were 14, 12, 5 and 9. And in race 4, it was 10, 12, 15 and 17. A few double-figured numbers, horses there.
Race number 7, we return to the flat racing here. First leg of the Quaddy, 1,600. The Tripper benchmark, 64. Nudge Bar went to Adelaide yesterday and won, so he's out, as is number 15, Vegas Knight. How's the market shaping up here, Quinny?
There's been three well-supported runners here. Number 11, Celtic Love, heads the market at $4.20. Was a $6 chance when markets opened. There have been deductions along the way. But the two market movers this morning, number 12, Outboard Motors, has been popular, $8 into 6, and also support for the 8, Frankly Harvey, who's been 12 into 6.50. Again, there have been deductions along the way, so a couple of scratchings. We lose 13 cents and 12 cents in the dollar with Nudge Bar and also Vegas Knight coming out. But they've been the runners that have attracted the early money today, numbers 12 and 8, Outboard Motors and Frankly Harvey.
Either of those figure in your tips, Dan?
Well, look, this is the sort of race where there's not too many you can put the pin through, I don't think. A lot of horses coming off a heavy track form. There's not a lot that I can exclude from at least being a top four chance. But it was Aroa Tamana was the horse that I liked the best. I thought his run first up was fantastic. Sitting three wide, no cover, had almost a year off and still toughed it out at the finish. It was terrific performance. He's had a month to recover from that run. T.O. Nugent with the 3 kilos can race up handy enough to the speed. I think it profiles well for this race, Aroa Tamana, number 3. The 10 El Shaparo was a fantastic run in a big field. It was last on the turn. They compressed a little bit, so even though it was last, it was only about 5 lengths off them, eased to the outside, and it finished at a great rate to win. That was a maiden, but I think it's got tremendous upside. If it gets so far back on the Sandown Lakeside, that could be a negative. But I think it's a nice horse going forward, the 10. Celtic Love looks to have found a nice race. It's had Saturday form in Sydney and has been competitive in those races. And First Class Dreamer is first up, but has performed at, I think, a slightly better level. 3, 10, 11 and 7, Brendan, in race 7.
I'm going to go with one of the well-tried runners here in Frankly Harvey. 1,600 metres, getting out to that trip's a little bit of a concern for Hine, but otherwise than that, he's going really well. He'll be up on the pace. The run behind Taxi was good. We've seen what he did when he stepped out in town last Saturday at Caulfield. Frankly Harvey on top for mine to beat. Arrow Tomato, thought he was really good, as Dan mentioned, at Cranbourne on the speed there, beating Czechoslovakia. 12, Outboard Motor, another one of the well-supported runners, thought he was really good in the wet ground at Geelong last time out and out to a mile. Once again, it's going to be no problems for him. And then the Sydney side at Celtic Love, 8, 3, 12 and 11 in what I found was a pretty tough race, the first leg of the Quaddy. Race number 8 over a mile. This is a benchmark 64. Legal ran yesterday, comes out. So 1, 10 and 13 are the scratchings here. No riders to bring you up to date with. The favourite, please, Nick.
The favourite is number 6, Think We're Due, who has been popular 3 into 260. There's also been a good move for number 7, Helmaz, who's been $10 into 550. Again, we're looking at deductions with a couple of runners coming out. We lose 10, 1 and 1 in terms of dollars per cents coming out there. But Think We're Due has been well backed, and jockey Michael Poy hopefully can get the 3 points here because he's been 250 into 220 for the jockey challenge.
Dan, how do we play this one?
It's a horse I'm really keen on here each way. Number 5, Tour Down Under. The race first up, I think, was in a slightly stronger benchmark class of race. It was slow out, then it sprinted through to race up handy, and it got into what was a reasonable position. And then it just continued to get shuffled back and shuffled back and shuffled back. And then there was no room for it at the top of the straight. It was a good run. It was a much, much better run than it looks. It can race up handy enough to the speed with a 3 kilo claim. That run would have improved. There's a lot of positives for Tour Down Under. Now, Helmaz was hard to miss at Flemington last start, and it comes through a strong race. There's no doubting that at all. And it's always encouraging to see when a horse doesn't have luck, the momentum goes past it, it gets badly held up, and then it savages the line. And that's what it did last start. So I really thought the winner would come from either of those two. I think We're Due was so impressive winning last start that I think if you're taking exotics, particularly quaddies, you've got to throw it in. And Stegersey Prince is a nice up-and-coming type of horse. I quite like where it's going. It just bumps into some really smart horses today. But I thought it was a decent race. Back the five each way, I think two are down under. 5, 7, 6, and 12.
Yep, I thought it was another really difficult assignment here. Going with Think We're Due, I thought he was ultra impressive on the speed at Sale last time out. Claims going to help. Second horse, Kajani, since went on to win at Mildura over there. Carnival up close to the pace is going to be no disadvantage to beat. Kent Street racing really well. Claims to help for T.O. Nugent. Slightly drier ground than Geelong, where he didn't get the luck when he needed it last time out behind Camper Basso. 5-2 are down under as Dan outlined. Just got shuffled back and back and back at Caulfield in a good race behind Special Diva. Will be better for that. Did come a long way in his first preparation. And then Helmez, hard to miss at Flemington. Was a good run at Echuca, three runs back. Little disappointing at Morfettville Park. I just want to see him win another race. He's just won one of the 10. He's had some bad luck go his way, but I just want to see him win again. 6, 3, 5, and 7 in race number 8. Ninth event on the program. This is a benchmark 78 over 1,400 metres. Number 9 is The Scratching here, Quinny.
And Smart Alissima, pretty firm favourite here at $2.30. Open at that quote this morning and hasn't budged. Groundbreak, a 3.92nd elect. Shot of Irish, the other runner in the market there at 4. Barcelona's been a firmer from $12 into 8. Faneem, a $10 chance. There's been support at longer odds for the rank outsider in the field. Kalamabe, who's a $51 chance. But overall, Smart Alissim, a pretty dominant favourite in the third leg of the quaddie.
Dan, are we with Smart Alissim here?
I think you sort of have to be, don't you? It's going to sit up handy enough to the pace. If Barcelona jumps, it can get to the front. Otherwise, Smart Alissim can lead and stack them up. Otherwise, it probably ends up box eating here. So it's going to be in the good spot, Smart Alissim. It's got the good Saturday, the form there. So, yeah, on top the three. Shot of Irish is an interesting runner. It's been really strong at the end of its races. But the blinkers come off this time, which is interesting. So it might get a little bit...
Put the visors on, though.
Yeah, well, that's right. And it can still sit handy enough. I could still see it occupying a forward enough spot. So it's always strong late, always strong late. So the last 100 metres of its races are its best. So if it's within a length and a half at the 100-metre mark, you know it'll finish it off. Groundbreak going well enough. It gets into the mix in Barcelona. Look, I could probably make a case for Faneem, but we mentioned earlier on about that the committee with the money munchers.
Yep, he's in there.
He's right up near the top, isn't he? But the blinkers are on first time today, so is it a case of give him one more chance? If you're taking quarties, I think you have to do that. Yep. But I didn't put him in the top four, 3, 4, 2, and 1.
Yeah, he's in the top four, but I've got to leave him out for the quaddie because I think this is a leg we can trim up because we have to play wide. Elsewhere, I'm with Smart Alissim. Everything went right 2 runs ago at Caulfield when he won. He was taken on in front last time out. He grounded out really strongly, up on the speed, no disadvantage as we've outlined around Lakeside. I think he'll be hard to beat. Groundbreak, right. Won well down the straight first up at Flemington. Forced back, covered ground, was good last time out at Caulfield behind Special Diva. Third up record's good. Should have won third up at Caulfield last preparation. Prior to that, ran Iconoclasm to a half-length third up. He's well and truly in the race. Shot of Irish. I think every time a horse, he's been left by himself and he hasn't really rallied into the horse, has got right up alongside him with the blinker, so maybe the visor going on, he just might be able to catch them out the corner of his eye, and he might be able to pull out that strong finish a little bit earlier than Faneem. But I think we can narrow this leg of the quaddie down to 3, 3, 2, 4, and then 8 in the second last event on the program over the 1,200 metres, a benchmark 78. Have a dash, number 10 comes out. Quinny, the market, please.
Good support here for number 9, La Tigeressa, who's been 3.20 into 2.60, one of the better back runners on the program. Mr. Tipler now a 4.40 second elect. Sam's Image has been a firmer 6.50 into 4.80. Search Squad best the rest at 14, but La Tigeressa expected to help punters end the day with a bang.
La Tigeressa comes through some strong races, Dan. She's jumped out really well in preparation for this.
Oh, yeah, that was a really impressive jump out. I mean, look, sometimes we can get carried away. I mean, look at that horse yesterday at Moonee Valley. I was trying to think, Conda Heroes, yep. You know, and we've seen horses like that before, but at least we know La Tigeressa. You don't have to rely on it being gelded or some other significant gear change. You know what to expect. earlier on, and well, not even earlier on, probably bar for her last start, which she was stretched out towards a mile and then had the break, she looked like a group class horse, I think, a group class mare, and I could easily see her going on from this to race in better class races for mares throughout the spring. I think she's a good mare, and she showed in the trial she has come back in super order. It was an absolute stranglehold. If I had to have a minor reservation, and she can get back, the minor reservation was it was too soft a trial going into a first up run. But I think her natural ability can get her home here. La Tigressa, number 9. Sam's Image hasn't won at the 1200, has run well enough at the 1200, and particularly here on top of the speed. Hot Seat's the other one that might pressure it in the early part, but I think it's a suitable race for it. Mr. Tipler's consistency puts it in the mix. And Gibbon, even though it hasn't won at 1200, it's performed okay at the trip, and it might be the right sort of race for it, but I'm very keen on La Tigressa.
Yep, La Tigressa for Dan. I'm with La Tigressa too. That jump out was just outstanding heading towards this. Took ground off them, wasn't asked for anything. Just trucked to the line beautifully. She had form around some really good horses. Oregon's Day, Canedna, towards the back end of last preparation. She brings her A-game here. First up, she'll win. Mr. Tipler's going well. Just peaked late last time out on his chase at 1,400 metres behind Trigger Point. He comes back to the 1,200 today. Le Bouin Star, I think, closed off well at Flemington. Off a freshen off the Topaz at Swan Hill behind Prezzato. Background a turn. I don't think he'll be too far away. And then number 12, which is Rupture. Forget Swan Hill, trial well between Swan Hill and Ballarat. Gave them a good beating there at Ballarat on the synthetic. I don't think he'll have too many troubles bringing the synthetic form to the turf. He's one to watch, definitely. 9, 4, 1 and 2 for me in the last. Dan, your best value quaddium play for Sandown Lakeside today, please.
And as I do, I'll just reiterate, well, actually I didn't even mention the numbers, but 9, 7, 4, 3 were my tips on the last event. Brendan, look, there were three horses I've cogitated on as declaring as my best bet of the day, so maybe how about we combine the best bet with a play of the day and take the three of them as either a double or a treble in race 2, number 3, Piedra, race 3, number 14, Kentucky Tornado, and race 10, number 9, La Tigressa is my best three, but couple them up, so if two of them win, we can still make a profit. The each way, I like two down under race 8, horse number 5. So it would be another mix on the play as well, because I think it's a really good each way chance. For the quaddy, the main quaddy, the first leg, Brendan, I my top four picks in the race were my main four, numbers 5, 6, sorry, that's the second leg, the first leg. The three on top, Arawa Tamana, 3, 7, 10 and 11 in the second leg. 5, 6, and 7. So the three horses there. Fourth pick will probably win now at 20-1 and we'll be kicking ourselves. Third leg of the quaddie, 3, Smart Alyssum. And take it one out if that's the leg to go narrow. And in the last leg, 9, La Tigressa. So might be the sort of quaddie you can get for that extra percentage today. It's go bust or bang, I suppose.
I'm going to play for the flexi. My best is Kentucky Tornado. Value is Rupture each way in the last at around the $16. Quaddy, play the flexi. 3, 8, 11 and 12 into 3, 5, 6, 7 and 8. Third leg, 2, 3, 4, and then into 1, 4, 9, 10, and 12 in the last leg. If you're looking for a play, maybe get the value early. It won't be much of value. Wells and Slowpoke take the quaddie in the crisp to get the card underway in around an hour from now. Quinny, best backed across, and do you like one today?
Best backed across the venue is race 2, number 2, Knock Knock, and I'm going to be conservative. I'm going to have a few multi-bets running through Sam's Image, the place in the lucky last, currently $2, and I think we'll be filling a hole for sure.
Dan Bielecki, Nick Quinn, thank you very much for your company this morning.